So my name's Andy Neely, Director of the Cambridge Service Alliance, and what I was going to do reasonably briefly in the next 20 minutes or so is just introduce the Cambridge Service Alliance. I'm conscious some people will have heard parts of this story together, but hopefully there'll be something new in it for everybody. Some may not have heard so much of the story. So very, very happy just to talk through the slides, and then we'll leave some time at the end for questions if people have got them. So the Cambridge Service Alliance, just a sort of short history of this. We've been working at Cambridge University with BAE Systems and IBM quite a long time in terms of services. So actually the real history, the sort of deeper history, is BAE Systems coming to the university mid 2005 time and saying our world is changing. People don't necessarily want to buy the products we sell, or at least not just the products, but they also want through life support. Good manufacturing firm, really understand technology, but actually this world of services is a bit different for us, and we could do with some work doing on actually how do manufacturing firms develop, design, support services and solutions. In parallel with that, there were some conversations with IBM, and particularly around things like service science. And so one of the challenges, I guess 2006, 2007 time in IBM, was where do we find people who are good at developing service systems? So we know where to go to get software engineers, we know where to go to get designers of products and technology and so on. But increasingly, our clients in IBM are asking about quite complex service systems, smart cities, healthcare systems, etc. Where do we go to get people who understand service systems? And so that provoked some conversation about the idea of service science and training university. Then 2007 time, there was quite an important event where we had a workshop in Cambridge, beautiful summer's day, where we got together about 30 or so of the leading academics from around the world, and a few people from industry, so BAE were involved, Rolls were involved, IBM, and that led to this publication, Succeeding Through Service Innovation, which was really one of the first publications to try and define what service science was all about. That, as time rolled on, led us to say, well, actually, what BAE and IBM both interested in, very similar services, so why don't we collaborate and hence form the alliance? And then we were joined later by Caterpillar, then by Pearson, and most recently by Gear and Zoetis. So Gear is the world's largest manufacturer of food processing equipment. Basically, they make machines that make the food that we eat. Zoetis spun off from Pfizer, completely independent of Pfizer, animal health business. Many people think of Pearson as a publisher, but actually over half of Pearson's revenue comes from education services, so online learning, online testing, and so on. So quite an interesting service business. And so in essence, what the Service Alliance is doing is bringing together some quite diverse organizations to look at some of the challenges around services and solutions. So we often talk about this and think about, well, how is the world changing? And one of the frameworks that we use a lot to describe the changes in the world over the years the Service Alliance has been in existence is this one that I'm going to talk through. So in many organizations, we see the shift from a world of products to a world including solutions. It's not that solutions are replacing the product. The product still matters. But increasingly, customers or clients are also saying we'd like a solution that goes with it. So if I go back to BAE Systems, when they first got in touch with us, as I said, it was all about their clients, the Ministry of Defence, Department of Defence, saying we don't just want the product, but we want the entire through-life support package that goes with it. Can you please provide that solution as well as the product? One consequence of that is that we've seen more and more interest in outcome-based contracting rather than worrying about the outputs. And so a lot of the work that we've done over the years has been looking at questions of what are the outcomes that customers really value. And that old famous Theodore Levitt quote, customers don't want a quarter inch drill, they want a quarter inch hole, underlies a lot of the work that we've been thinking about, where we're saying actually you've really got to understand what it is the customer really, really values. And in fact, it might not be the quarter-inch hole. It might be the ability to hang a picture on the wall, put some art on the wall, in which case there are different ways I could deliver that solution to you. Linked to that, one of the things we've seen, it's true for I think all the partners in the Alliance, is that people recognize the importance of long-term relationships. So in Caterpillar's world, bits of equipment last for 30 years, 40 years in their useful operating life. So actually the sale of the equipment matters, but so does the relationship with the customer through life as you service and support that asset and make sure it continues to work effectively. So increasingly we see organizations building quite deep relationships with their customers, very closely linked to their individual solutions. Another consequence of this is that increasingly the solutions are not delivered by a single organization, but instead it's networks of partners. So some of the early work we did in IBM, we were looking at the relationship with the DVLA, where IBM very closely engaged with work in the DVLA, along with Fujitsu, and effectively different organizations are pooling their capability to deliver the solution the client values. And so you end up with a much more complex set of relationships across the broader network. And then the final theme, and this has become increasingly popular, I guess, in all sorts of media over the last couple of years, the question of ecosystems and saying that actually when it comes to services and solutions and when it comes to thinking about markets, it's not necessarily how firm A competes with firm B, but increasingly people are worrying about how the ecosystem works and how organizations interact and network together. So those are some of the shifts that we, when we first started on this journey down the service alliance, we talked about, and they seem to have stood the test of time fairly well. To make that a bit more practical, if I could take two or three examples from different partners to illustrate the range of diversity amongst the alliance partners. So BAE Systems, this first slide, land, sea and air businesses. But if you take the sea business, maritime services, one of the contracts that BAE Systems has now is not only to maintain ships at Portsmouth Harbour in the UK, but also as part of that contract to run the entire harbour, so to manage the infrastructure, manage the facilities, provide catering to sailors and staff, accommodation for sailors' families. Clearly, BAE Systems is not going to do all of that themselves, so they outsource some of it to Babcock for some of the facilities management, they outsource catering to Aramark, and so you end up with this network of organizations collaborating to deliver the service the end customer, the Ministry of Defence in that case, actually wants. But BAE Systems as the prime contractor has significant responsibility for delivery of that service. Caterpillar, different example, but in Caterpillar's world, as I said earlier, these bits of kit that Caterpillar provide last for 30 to 40 years, often sold through a dealer network. And importantly for Caterpillar, it's not just the sale of the original equipment, but the through life support, and particularly the parts and consumable sales that go with that through life support that really affect the Caterpillar business. And then if you go to a completely different type of organization, someone like Pearson. So in Pearson's case, as I said earlier, many people think of Pearson as a publisher, but actually, although the business owns the Financial Times, owns Prentice Hall and so on, over 50% of the revenue comes from education services and some really interesting innovation around the sorts of learning materials that are now provided to school children. So there's discussions about flipping the classroom and saying rather than you teaching people when they're in the class as a teacher, why don't we video or record the taught part of the class, allow the children to watch that in effectively what would have been their homework time, and then when they're in the class they could do their homework, and actually that's the time that they need the individual attention from the teacher. So you can change the way and the model that education is delivered at both the secondary and tertiary levels, and so Pearson's doing some fascinating work in that space. So diverse organisations involved. What the Alliance is trying to do, I guess, is really four things. First of all, clearly research, but fairly practical research that helps improve the design and deployment of high-performance complex service systems, so these complex networks of organizations operating together. We try to develop and have developed a number of fairly practical tools and techniques that people can use as they're thinking about service solutions. So there's work around how do you know if you've got the right capabilities to innovate your business model for services. We're doing some work on how do you map these complex ecosystems and understand how they work at the moment, that I'll come back to. Also, the Alliance is an international network, and clearly from the industrial organisations involved, but also for the academics. So we're quite well linked into academics around the world who are working in this general area of services. And then, as well as the research and the network, worrying about education, training opportunities, so things like Service Week, where sometimes we're delivering courses inside individual firms, other times they're more collaborative across the different partners in the Alliance. So effectively, this combination of research, knowledge sharing, and education. For 2014, the research focus is really on three things at a high level. So the first one is really a question of how do you design, deploy, and enhance services. And a lot of that work, my colleague Mohammed Zaki is leading, looking at how you can use data and analytics to improve and enhance services and solutions. So increasingly with Web 4.0, the industrial internet, Internet of Things, all of that sort of language, devices are getting connected to the net, we're gathering more and more data. And so Mohammed is doing work looking at how do you best make use of that data to optimize your service and solutions. The second theme, the second broad area that we're working on at the moment is around ecosystem and particularly questions of how you map ecosystems and then analyze them. And so Stefano Miraglia is leading that work with support from Ivanka Visnic. And Stefano and Ivanka particularly are looking at questions of A, how do you describe and map ecosystems? We've been using some techniques for that thinking with a variety of the partner organizations, most recently Finning, the Caterpillar dealer, and then also trying to understand actually who captures value in the ecosystem. So in essence, answering the questions of who does what and who gets what in return for their effort. And then the third theme that Veronica Martinez is leading on at the moment is the question of making and sustaining the shift to services. And this is all about how we can identify, evaluate, cost the shift to service and solutions, how do we build the right organizational capability, and particularly here, learning across the partners in the Alliance. So Veronica has been working very closely recently with GEAR, with Pearson and Zoetis to understand a bit about their service journeys and service transformation, and how they've been able to execute those and what some of the barriers are that firms face in making that transition to services. So we'll talk in more detail about all of those themes of research in future webinars. We're also running on a quarterly basis community of interest, which is open to all the partners to send participants along to. The next one is in Chicago on the 7th, 8th of July. And in fact, that one we'll be focusing very much on the third theme here, this one of making and sustaining the shift to services, and hearing both from Veronica, but also from GEAR, Pearson and Zoetis about their respective journeys, and learning or exploring what we can learn from each other about making the shift to services. Beyond that small group that I've mentioned, there are a bunch of other people involved in the Alliance. I'm not going to talk through everybody's research here, but it's worth giving names or faces. So a couple of people worth flagging, particularly here, Florian and Janet are doing some work at the moment on customer emotions and trying to understand the emotional response that customers have to services that are delivered by in industrial settings. In fact, they've been working very closely with Finning and interviewing a range of Finning's customers and looking at some of Finning's internal processes to map the journey that both customers go on and then the emotional response they have to that journey. Jin Cheng, bottom right-hand corner, is doing work on contracting for capability and the extent to which relationships, so social capital in the academic world, if you think of breadth and depth of relationships. How do relationships affect the risk that lies in outcome-based contracts, and how much risk both providers and clients end up taking? And then Ornella Benedetti is going to work on what's called the servitization paradox and exploring some of the challenges that firms face as they servitize. Claire Viler, just to mention one more, do work on electric vehicles and the business models that electric vehicle manufacturers are adopting in different countries. So she's been looking at Japan, France, the US, and Scandinavia to explore the different ways in which electric vehicles are being brought to market in those different countries. So a variety of different people working on subjects. Some of them are doing their PhDs, some of them are here as full-time researchers, some are here as faculty members, some are here visiting the university for short periods of time. So a fairly diverse group. But if you're interested in learning more about any of those individuals or their work, by all means, let me know. The purpose of these webinars was really something that we've discussed with the exploitation subcommittee for the Service Alliance. So one of the things we've been saying through the steering committee is, how do we make sure we get as much information out about the Service Alliance and the material that they develop as possible? And so one suggestion was that we would have webinars just for members or partners in the Alliance, open to anyone in your respective organisations, where we will present some of the research that's coming out of the Alliance, sometimes with more updates, some specifically on research, scheduled regularly every second Monday of the month at 14:30 GMT, and designed to last for 30 minutes. So typically 20 minutes talking, and then 10 minutes or so for Q&A if people wish to ask them. So not a big chunk of time out of people's diaries, but more an awareness raising opportunity. So the scheduled webinar will be coming up from now on, July the 14th. The next one, Janet and Florian will talk a little bit about the work on customer value and customer experience. Not scheduled one for August, but September, Mohammed will talk a bit about the first theme, the big data theme, and how you might use data, in this case, to innovate around the business model, and particularly startup firms. He's been looking at some work there. October 13th, Anna's going to talk a bit about industry transformation, particularly in the publishing industry. So she's been doing her PhD in publishing generally and looking at the way that that industry has been transforming towards a service logic. November, Marcus is going to talk a little bit about lock-in effects. December, we haven't scheduled a webinar because that's the date of the Community of Interest meeting. And then early January, Stefano will talk about the value mapping ecosystems world. So that's the forward schedule. And if there are themes that you'd like us to pick up on or explore, by all means, let us know. Veronica Martinez runs this particular series, and so she's very happy to receive suggestions on topics that would be of interest to the people dialing in. And then finally, range of ways of keeping in touch with the Service Alliance. So lots of material on the website in terms of outputs, papers, publications, blogs, videos, etc. Hopefully people will receive the quarterly newsletter, not monthly, it's written here, but quarterly newsletter. Which Angela Walters looks after, through the annual report. Community of Interest, I think, has been a really good innovation. So we introduced that this year, and it's really once a quarter, fairly open discussion, not an enormous group, typically trying to limit that to about 20 or so people, so two or three representatives from each partner. But it's really a chance to then explore some of the issues that are both coming out of the research and the partners are interested in. And then, of course, we have Service Week. So Service Week this year, that week being 29th of September, 30th of September is the Industry Day, and the theme for that is the future of services in the digital age. We have already confirmed as speakers a guy called Mark Elborn, who's the president and chief executive of GE for UK Northern Ireland. Got somebody who used to be in Disney running their digital experience and creating great digital experience for customers, and also someone from SAP coming along to speak about some of the innovations SAP are doing around technologies and services. So I hope people will be able to join us. at that event and possibly Partners Day during that week, and indeed at either community of interest meetings or webinars before them. So I'll pause at that stage. We said we'd try and do these in about 20 minutes, and this was very much an overview of what the service alliance